All right. So Julia Kvass is asking, Josh and Ryan, view on the subject of reincarnation, and do believers go directly to be with Jesus at death, or do we sleep until his return? Very quickly, I will just say I'm not a reincarnation guy, and I'm also not a soul sleep guy, though I understand reasons for people that believe that. Reincarnation comes out of Eastern mysticism and stuff. I believe that, and I could be wrong. I have not done extensive study into this, but what is written in scripture is to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Well, when are we with the Lord? Well, we're with the Lord, you know, at the judgment. So I don't think it's a soul sleep thing. I don't think that there are actual souls in the grave sleeping in dead bodies right now. I don't believe that at all. I think that when you leave this world, you leave space and time. What that means, I have no clue because I've only been in space and time, so I don't know what that's like. But I think that when you leave this body, you're with the Lord, and that's when the events that are described in scripture, occur for you. But what do you think, Ryan? Reincarnation, do you believe that people go directly to be with Jesus, or do we sleep until his return? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so certainly I don't believe in reincarnation. It is appointed unto men to die once and then the judgment. So I think that, you know, we only have one shot at this in life. And I would say, and I've said this, you know, I was at a dinner years ago with a number of people who believed in reincarnation who were not Christians at all. And they were making this argument about how, you know, in every life you have to live better and you keep ascending. Your consciousness will elevate, right, until you transcend and you become godlike, essentially. And I said, well, if that's true, you know, why is society getting so much worse? Why are we so much more morally depraved? Why is there so much more violence and so much more hatred, so much more depravity and perversion in society? I'm like, yes. Where are all these seventh lifers who are on their seventh life and they're so ascended? I'm like, I don't see them anywhere in any country. So, and to which they, again, they laughed and had no response to that. So
I'm like, that's such a good point. Yeah.
So I would definitely say that if you're speaking to someone, for one, reincarnation is not biblical, but if you're engaging with someone who believes in that and doesn't believe the Bible, I would challenge them because what the Bible is, Christianity is the only religion that tells us that we are not good and we cannot make ourselves better on our own. It is God who will make us perfect. And so that's what separates us from every belief system. And we need to, you know, it's just a way you can engage in that. And in terms of when you die, what happens when you die? I think, you know, again, the testimony of scripture, we see Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah. They're, you know, so they were obviously able to talk. They were talking to him on the mount, the martyrs under the altar. So, you know, I believe that when I also agree that absent from the body is to be present the Lord. But I believe that when we die, we will immediately be in God's presence in spirit form. We will not have our resurrected bodies until the rapture, but I think in spirit we will be with the Lord.
Yeah, that's how I look at it too. And, you know, it's part of an upcoming project that I'm working on with Donna Howell. She is Tom Horn's daughter. Her and I are really good friends, and we're working on a project together about the afterlife, what the process of death is going to be like, heaven, hell, all that kind of stuff, but not in the fluffy way. You know, usually, if you look up anything on, you know, a Christian interpretation of heaven or hell, you get kind of this fluffy, not really theologically grounded kind of thing. And we're trying to do something different. I really want to know what that's going to be like, you know. Yeah. I mean, if you know, like if you know that at some point in your life, you're going to have to move to a different country and you're going to be there forever, wouldn't you want to know before that happens everything you can about it? I mean, I certainly would. I don't want to hear just what other people have to say about it. I want to know what the itinerary of that country has to say. And that's what we get in the Bible. We get the itinerary of heaven. I want to know what it actually says. But so much of the church has fluffed it up and made it into something that it's really not. And I think about that all the time. That's one of my favorite questions, and I'm glad that we were able to end on that, because I think that's something that we all share in together. whether rapture or death, you know, we're all, none of us knows when we're going to leave this world. We're all going to face Jesus at some point. We're all going to at one moment be in this life and at the next moment not be in this life. So what is that transition like and what can we expect? I think that is an important question. And it goes back to what we were talking about before, that people say the rudest thing that you can talk about is politics and religion. I would disagree. I'd say that those are the most important things we should talk about, because politics is how we govern ourselves in the physical life, but religion is what happens after we die. That's what religion is.
Well said, brother.
Right. So, and it's going to happen to every single one of us. It would be foolish, I think, to never discuss it or never think about it or ignore it while we're in this life. It would be foolish to ignore that basic fact that every single one of us, no matter how much we want to deny it, we are going to die. And even more, maybe there's been other people who have had that same question, and maybe they know a little bit more about it than we do. Maybe they, with their lives, and they're a lot of them are past dead and gone. Maybe a lot of them with their entire lives have come up with some points of thought about that we haven't considered yet. So I think it's wise to consider those and talk about it. So it bothers me that we live in a culture where, again, politics and religion are, you know, the rudest things to talk about. You know, I mean, well, I think we broke all those barriers tonight. We even talked about race, and I wasn't even meaning to get into that, but we talked about it and we were both open to talk about it. And I mean, I guess that would fall in the politics part of it. I don't know, but I don't think we as Christian brothers and sisters, I don't think there is any topic that should be off limits. I think we should be able to talk about everything. And I think that, hey, let's let the best argument win. You know, if you have a good argument, the best argument, the argument that is rooted more in truth, that is the argument that's going to have more documentation. It's going to have more reason with it. You're going to have more sources. And that's what I love about your book, Judgment of the Nephilim, because you have more than adequately, you have expertly cited your sources. You have guided the reader on a journey towards your understanding of this issue in a way that I cannot think of another book that has done it in this way. And I appreciate that. One more time for people who are just joining us, where can they get your book, Judgment of the Nephilim? Where can they follow you online?
Sure. So you can find the book at judgmentofthenephilim.com. It's also available on Amazon. Just look up Judgment of the Nephilim or my name, Ryan Peterson, and you'll find it there. It's in paperback and in Kindle. You can also go to my Facebook page, which is Judgment of the Nephilim. Also my Instagram, Judgment of the Nephilim. You can contact me there anytime. I'm on my Facebook and Instagram pretty much every day. So, or contact me through the website as well.
That's fantastic. Ryan, can we have you back on again at a future date?
Absolutely. Listen, Josh, I'm so grateful and thankful. I had so much fun. I mean, it was great speaking to you and discussing this, but I just had a great time. And I would love to come back on again. I'm very excited to hang out with you at the conference in March. So at Hear the Watchman. So
I'm excited about that too. And anytime you want to come on, I'll send you formal requests, but anytime you want to come on, I'll have you back on. This has been an absolute blast. And just thank you so much for your insights and being so open. I mean, they're in all honesty, I mean, this is just the world that we live in. You know, we that live in this world, even though we're not of it, but we live in it. We're just used to this kind of thing. There have been many points of discussion tonight where, if you wanted to, you could have been just really offended and you could have taken it out again, but you haven't done it. You just been open and willing to communicate truths and how you see the scriptures, how you see the Bible, how God sees us. You've been willing to just be open in a good conversation. And I love that. Anytime I can get that, I love it, because there are too many times where we as Christians, unfortunately, find it too easy. And we all, every single one of us watching online, me, myself as the host. There have been too many times in our past. I'm sure you can look, anybody watching, you can look to your past and see a time in your life where you have been too sensitive, where God has had to pull you out of some stuff, out of some pride, where there were certain topics of discussion that you didn't want to talk about because you found them offensive. And I think that is prideful and evil. And I'm glad that the people of this show certainly have gotten out of that because they watched the show, and if they're not offended by it, then they're on the right track, because we get into all sorts of controversial issues here. So I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your willingness to talk about these controversial issues, and I love what you said at the top of when we first started talking, is that if it's not controversial, you don't even want to talk about it, because that's where the real meat is. You know, the real meat is controversial because it goes against the grain of the world. That's right. I love that. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.